I want to thank Drew and my dad for asking me to share this morning. I'm really excited about this topic. It's the chapter in the blue book. I think it's called, You Might Be Righteous Tomorrow.
No.
Is that not it? What is it?
You are righteous now.
You might be righteous now, right? You are righteous now. That's right. Okay. Very good. Well, we got that right. So most of us hopefully just filed our taxes. You don't have to tell me. I did it through TurboTax, and TurboTax, they ask you about 365,000 questions, so I thought I would ask you a couple more questions just for fun, okay? So, and you can answer these out loud, okay? So question number one here, do you want to be spiritually defeated?
No.
Okay. You can answer however you want, there's no wrong answers. Be honest. Okay. Number two, do you want to not get answers to prayer?
No.
Okay. Question three, are you a blind veteran over the age of 65?
No.
No. Okay. Unrelated. That's a tax question. But if you answered no to the first two questions, then this is the teaching for you. If you answered yes, I don't know what to tell you. Go somewhere else, I guess. Okay, so you are righteous now. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is your God-given ability to stand in the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. To put that shorter, since that's a long definition, it's to be right before God. Righteousness means you are right before God. You're just as you should be before God. And that's what we are. Now, I used to think, you know, you come to an advance like this and someone says, I'm going to teach on righteousness. And I would go, all right, here we go again. You know, righteousness. I know I'm the only one that thinks like this. I know. I'm just being honest, okay? Okay, here we go again. It's righteousness. I know I'm righteous. Next, you know. Give me something more interesting. But how wrong was I, right? Because, and I found this out that I was wrong, okay? I can admit it. Because how quickly do thoughts come into our mind without us even trying to of our unrighteousness, right? Thoughts of, I'm not good enough, or I haven't done enough for God, or, you know, I should have prayed more, I should have read the Bible more. These things just come into our mind without us trying, right? Because of the world, we know who runs the world, and they just come into our mind. And unless we combat those thoughts, unless we actively combat those thoughts with thoughts of our righteousness from God's word, then we will be spiritually defeated. And I'll say that again. Unless we combat those thoughts with the truth of God's word concerning our righteousness, we will be spiritually defeated. Someone was really excited about that. Someone. And that's not very good, so I don't know. But why is that true? Because if I'm thinking, I'm not good enough, I should have done more for God, you know, I should be further in my growth with God or something by now. If we're thinking like that, then we're not going to be thinking, I can operate all nine manifestations all the time. We're not going to be thinking, if I ask anything of God, I know he'll give it to me because I'm his son who he cares for. We're not going to be thinking, you know, if someone needs to be healed, I'm the one that can do it because I have Christ in me. And so we have to actively put on these thoughts about our righteousness from God's word. And what I'm going to do is just give you some things that you can think, and it'll be great. So turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 17. Now, I've been practicing this stuff for myself just for the past few months. Before I knew I was going to teach on this, so it worked out pretty good. But here is what I do, literally. At my house, we have a little front porch, and I love sitting out there because it's a nice little front porch. You have a view of the sky over here. There's a tree across the street that I really like. It's just nice. I don't know. So I like sitting on the porch. And so what I've been doing is I'll sit on the porch, and I'll just think, God really likes me. God just really likes me. And I'll think, I can walk with God. I'll think, I can operate all nine manifestations. I'll think, God works in me, and if I need to know something, I know God will show it to me right when I need to know it. Just thoughts of our access to God, our righteousness before God, you know, the ability to use the manifestations, I've been actively putting them on in my mind. And it has really helped me a lot. It's made me free, like Drew was talking about yesterday. I haven't danced around naked because of it, but I guess we'll see how that goes. But it really has made me free. It's helped me, one, just enjoy my life more. It's helped me enjoy my relationship with God more. And it's helped me just to relax, you know? Like, I don't have to be everything I expect myself to be already. God already made me righteous. And so I really highly recommend that we all practice this stuff where we just put it on in our mind. And you will see the benefits. If you feel like you haven't enjoyed life recently or haven't been enjoying your relationship with God, or maybe you lost the joy of service, you know, that's a great teaching that Dr. Werbel did, then this is what to do. Check your heart on righteousness. You know, have an honest conversation with yourself. Do I think I'm righteous? Am I holding something against myself? Do I think God doesn't like me? Something like that. And if you're thinking that way, then I'll tell you exactly what you need to do to fix that, okay? Romans chapter 5, we'll read verse 17. It says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Does anyone know what grace means?
Unmerited favor.
Say it louder, Dylan.
Divine favor, unmerited.
Unmerited divine favor, right? It's a good definition. So what does that mean? It's that God favors you. God really likes you. He really likes you. And it's unmerited, right? It's not because you did something really good and that's why he likes you. It's not because you know, whatever. God just decided, I really like you. When we got born again, we received this, what is it called? Abundance of grace. An abundance of God's favor that we didn't deserve, we didn't have to. God just really likes us. All right, verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what?
Reign in life
by one Jesus Christ. Right, so you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. When you got born again, you received the gift of righteousness, which means that you are right before God. You're just as you should be. You're in the right state. And it says that the people that receive that shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you're reigning in life? Reign means to be king. It's good to be the king, right? To be king, to reign, to rule, to hold supreme power. Do you feel like you hold supreme power in this life? Do you feel like you reign? If not, then you have to put on thoughts of righteousness. Because people that receive the gift of righteousness, receive the abundance of grace, they shall reign in life. Let's go to the beginning of this chapter in verse 1. So I told you we're just going to go over some things that you can put on in your mind. Right? We got born again. We got righteousness. But now what we have to do is think it. Right? It's really simple. But that's how we get the benefits. We put it on our mind. We think these thoughts. Just like I do on my porch, and it's really simple, and I look at the tree across the street that I really like, and I think God just really loves me, and it really helps, because that's thinking the truth of God's word. Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what?
Peace.
Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that you can think. You don't even have to have a porch, by the way. You can do this anytime. I like the porch, but anywhere you are, you can think, I have peace with God. That's another thing that I think on my porch. It's just a nice, we got the, you see the sky over here? We get really nice sunsets on this side, and then there's this tree. There's a tree, yeah. It's really nice, I don't know. What were we talking about? Peace, we have peace, right? So that's something that you can think, I have peace with God. And peace means rest, state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. That's what you can think. I have rest. Me and God have rest. Pretty cool. I want to look at another place that this word peace is used. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I like these moss bowls up here. Are they squishy or not? Oh, they're hard. You don't have to touch them yourself now. I tested it. Mark chapter 5, we're going to read starting in verse 24. And we're going to look at another place that this word peace is used. Is everybody there? You could squawk if you're there. Good squawks. Thank you for your squawking. Mark 5, 24, we'll start reading here. It says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Thronged means that there was all these people, and they were pressing on every side. There was just all these people. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." This woman, is anyone 12 years old in here? How old are you guys over here? 12. You're 12? Okay, so for the entirety of your life so far, this woman had a disease. She was bleeding for 12 years. And not only that, but she tried to take care of this situation. It says that she had suffered many things of many physicians, right? So that means she went to a physician, paid him. They said, do this thing to get rid of it. She did the thing, didn't work. She goes to another one, paid him. Do this thing, tried that, didn't work. Goes to another one, pays him. Do this thing, doesn't work. Tries it again. 12 years she had this problem. Suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. At the end of it, she was out of money because she spent all of it. And guess what? Was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That was the end state. When she had heard of Jesus, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples, as sharp as they were, said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, thy believing, hath made thee whole. Go in what?
Peace.
Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. 12 years. I've been getting emotional recently for stupid stuff. I don't know why. I think I'm pregnant. Anyway, so 12 years, right? 12 years. This woman had no peace. This woman was going and doing all this stuff, paid all her money, had no peace. 12 years. Nathan is 12 years old, right? The entirety of your life, she was doing this stuff. And now she had peace. I don't know what your life was like before you got born again, but there's so many people I know that they don't have peace, that's for sure. People wonder, does God love me? You know, am I good enough for God? They try to work their way to God. They don't know if they're going to heaven or hell at the end. You know, they have no peace. We are born again, and we know that we have peace, right? Peace. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 again. There's no more wondering. We know that we have peace with God. So we good so far?
Yes. Yeah.
It's all good stuff. None of it's going to, like, make a bad turn. It's all going to be good stuff we're going to look at, in case you were nervous. So Romans 5:1, let's read it again. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Another thing that we have that we can think about is we have access by faith into this grace. When we got born again, we got access to this grace, this unmerited divine favor where God just really likes you. And so that's what you can think about when you sit on your porch, when you're looking at a tree that you like, when you're doing other things. You can think, I have access to God's grace, that God just really, really likes me. And it's It's unmerited, right? So many of you might know Martin and Alexa Gonzalez. They just had a baby. They live in New Jersey. Their baby is 3 months old, I think, now. And so we get pictures of the baby. I don't know why. We just do. And so they send a picture of the baby. And the baby's, you know, her name is Sophia. And she's smiling, looking over the camera. And then the caption is, "She just pooped in my lap." And it's like, did this baby do anything right so far? Probably not, right? She just pooped in my lap. But they love that baby, right? They look at that baby and they just love this baby. That's the way that God looks at you, right? There's my kid who I love. He just pooped in my lap. And that's what we can think about. That's the way that God looks at you, because you don't have to work for it. God just loves you already. He decided to. You got born again. Let's look at something else. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So we already were born again, you know, we already received these things spiritually. Now it's our job to think them. And that's how you get the benefits. We just remind ourselves of the truth of God's word. We think them. And it will free you in your life. I can guarantee that because it's God's word. 1 John chapter 3. We don't need to squawk this time. Unless you want to. I knew you would. 1 John 3, and we're going to read verses 20 and 21. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Do you know what your heart is? It's the innermost part of your mind, or the innermost part of your being. And so things get into your heart because you think them a lot, right? So if you want to change your heart, you change your thinking. So this says here, if our heart condemns us, that means we've thought about something a lot. And condemn means, I wrote it down somewhere, here it is, to accuse or find fault with. So your heart, your thoughts, you've been accusing yourself, you've been finding fault with yourself. You know, I'm not good enough, I should have done more. All of these things, I messed up in the past too much. If you have this habit of thinking this way, it says, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, so we change that habit pattern, we're not accusing ourselves anymore, then have we confidence towards God. Confidence means speaking all that one thinks, boldness, openness, right? When our heart's not condemning us, we know we're righteous, we know we have access to God. We can pray openly before God. We know we can ask anything. God will give it to us because we have that access, because we have that free access to Him. And if our heart is condemning us, we're not going to be so bold, right? We're not going to come to God knowing, I can ask for anything. I know that God will do it for me because I'm His kid. We'll be timid, you know, maybe I have to make myself right first, you know. If you do have to ask God for forgiveness for something, just ask Him. And guess what? He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then move on, right? That was the whole point. Like, God's not trying to, like, trick us here. It's real. This is the real deal. He gave us this stuff. We think it. We get the benefit. And that's it. There's no strings attached. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. We can have confidence towards God, where we speak all that we think. We have boldness, we have openness. I think of like a toddler, you know, they like have their shirt off, their belly's out, they got one sock on, and they have all boldness, they don't care at all, right? It's just like, help me, you know, like they don't care at all. And that's what we're like to God, right? We're His little kids. I forgot to read a verse here, it's our theme verse. I'm gonna go back. You can go wherever you went. Stay there. 1 John 4:4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You know what's cool about this verse? Everything, yeah. No, but what I was thinking of was little children. It's little children. You know who is more powerful than the adversary and any of the devil spirits? God's little children. As little children, we're more powerful. Isn't that awesome? And why are we more powerful? Because ye are of God, right? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, because you have Christ in you. We are more powerful, just as his shirtless toddlers with one sock on, right? Because we have Christ in us. That's the power that we have that was given us. And that's another thing that we can think about ourselves. I am powerful because I have Christ in me. I'm God's kid. I told you to go somewhere. Where?
Luke 4.
Luke 4, verse 16, we're going to start here again. This is Jesus Christ. Luke 4:16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted.'" Brokenhearted is the tread down. It comes from a word that means a worn path. You know, if a lot of people step on a path, it makes a worn path. Jesus Christ said, he has sent me to heal those that are worn down, that have just been stepped on. To preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance is freedom from bondage. To preach freedom from bondage. You think about that woman who was sick, you know, had a disease for 12 years, tried everything. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ said, go in peace. Imagine that freedom, you know, freedom from captivity. I don't know what she did after that, but I imagine she went home and she just sat down, right? And it was just peace. For the first time in 12 years, just peace. No longer have to think about this thing, it's over. It's the same for us. We no longer have to worry about all this stuff, it's over. We have peace. And recovering of sight to the blind, even if you're a 65-year-old veteran. I don't know what benefits, never mind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised is to break in pieces or shattered. You know, you think about these people, those that are tread on, that have just been stepped on, the people that are broken, that are shattered. It says that Jesus Christ came to help these people, to fix those problems. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world, right? Now we're Christians, and so now we get to feel bad about ourselves. Awesome, right? No. It's that we can be free. We can have freedom to dance if we want to or leave our friends behind. You know, we can have real freedom in our minds. We don't have to be in these prisons in our minds where we're holding on to stuff that we've done wrong because we are free. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He came to set you free. Let's go somewhere else. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 29. So this is good so far, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff we're reading. It's good. I'm doing a good job, right? You guys like me, right? Okay. We're going to start Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." That's another thing that I think about on the porch. God called me. God called me to be myself with my personality and who I am and, you know, everything I am, my believing and my operation of the manifestations. God called me to be part of this body. Might as well go there. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. You know what we're going to read? It's okay if you don't, because we're going to read it. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 12:15. It says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" No, that's stupid. "And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" No, that's stupid too. Right? That's how we're supposed to read it? No, that's stupid. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" You know what this is talking about? The body of Christ, too. If we all did the same stuff, then there'd be a lot missing. If we were all really good at one thing, we would be really bad at all the same stuff, if that makes sense. The point is that we're supposed to have different abilities. We all have our own unique personalities and our own believing God's word. And all together, that's where the one body thrives, when we work together. And that's the design. It's not a mistake. It's not like, oh, these guys are really not that good, so let's figure out what we could do. That is the design. You can just read it. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased who?
Him.
As it hath pleased him. That's something that you could think about. God placed me in the body, who I am. And it wasn't a mistake. It was me. He wanted me. Go back again to Romans chapter 8. This stuff will really, really help you. And a lot of this is stuff we've heard for a long time. You know, like me, I'm going to teach on righteousness. And I was like, well, great. Here we go again. But do we actually believe this stuff? Do we think about it so that we can get the benefits of it? That's what we need to do. Romans 8. All right, let's read verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Is God for us?
Yes.
There you go. 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's God's elect?
Us.
Who's going to lay anything? Who's going to accuse God's elect? And this, it should read, God that justifieth? Is God the one that's going to lay anything against us? No, God's the one that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Is Christ going to condemn you? No, he's the one that relieved all that condemnation. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness? That's interesting, the nakedness, because David dancing, and even that didn't separate him from anything. Okay. Nakedness? Where are we? Or peril or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's me sometimes, right? I'm like, things are hard, right? It's hard being a Christian. You have to care about everyone and, like, talk to weird people. It's hard. You have to, like, pray and stuff. Oh, we're killed all the day long. Verse 37, nay, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's another thing that we can think about ourselves. I am more than a conqueror, super conqueror. Through him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What you can think about yourself is that God loves you. He just loves you. And take some time at some point to just really think about that. God really just loves me. He loves me a lot. He cares about me. He looks at me and he's like, there's my kid, who I called, who I love. That's another thing we can think. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to close here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We shall reign in life. The way to reign in life is to think these things. We already received them spiritually. Now we just think them. We put them into our mind, they get into our heart, we believe them, we get the benefits. 1 Peter 2, great verse here in 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. Do we need to squawk again? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. And that should read, should live by righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. We live by righteousness. And that word live is really cool. It's live. Isn't that cool? No, just kidding. It's live, breathe, be among the living, not lifeless, not dead, right? We are among the living. We are not lifeless. We're not dead. We reign in life. We rule. We have, whatever it was, supreme power. Another definition was to enjoy real life. Isn't that cool? To enjoy real life. We can enjoy real life because our real life is that we have been made righteous. Our real life is that we are right before God. We're just as we should be. Isn't that cool that that's the truth? That that's the reality? The reality could have been something else, like really bad, and we were just like confused or something. But the real truth is that we are righteous before God. We're actually right before God. And so now we can enjoy real life. And then this last verse here is pretty cool too. It says, verse 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Isn't that cool? I don't know that I ever read that verse before, but I read that and I was like, that's pretty cool. Right? Let's read it again. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We can live a free life. We can. If there's stuff that's been bothering you this weekend, it can be not bothering you anymore because you get healed or just because you change your mind, whatever, putting on God's word. That woman was sick. She had a disease for 12 years. Maybe there's something that you're dealing with in your mind for years and years and years. That doesn't mean that's the rest of your life. It can absolutely be changed. God's word is healing. Just hearing God's word is healing. He sent his word and what?
Healed them,
right? It's good for us all to be here and just get into God's word, share God's word with each other, get to fellowship, because just that in itself is healing. So you are righteous now. It's not you might be righteous tomorrow. You are righteous now. So let's think these things, put them into our heart, and get the benefits. All right? Thank you. God bless.